Hi, my name is Bart Simon, and I serve on Nativity's Church Council. We begin every worship service with this welcome statement. Today, since we are not worshiping in person, it's my privilege to share it with you online. We, the people of the Church of the Nativity, United Church of Christ, believe that all people are of sacred worth. Therefore, we warmly welcome people of every age, language, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender identity, physical and mental ability, economic means, marital status, and family structure into the full fellowship, membership, leadership, ministry, worship, online or in person, and sacramental life of our congregation. We commit ourselves to continuing conversation and growth as we seek to be the loving and inclusive faith community that we believe God is calling us to be. As we gather and worship today, we welcome seekers, doubters, and believers. We also understand that we come together from different experiences. Some of us have had a wonderful week, others not so great. Some are happy, others sad. Some hopeful, others discouraged. Nevertheless, as we say in the United Church of Christ, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. Pastor Ruth will now share some important announcements.
Thanks, Bert. Well, I just have a couple of quick announcements. The one is that we are planning to be closed in keeping with the order by the governor and what community groups are doing and businesses and organizations. So we'll be trying to connect online. We'll have a Wednesday meditation that you'll be able to access that'll be less than 10 minutes. And then for Sunday mornings, you'll have something like we're doing today. For absolute up-to-date information, you can go to our website, www.nativityucc.org, and it will get there. At the top, there'll be a link that you can click on that'll give you your latest weekly update, and that will also link you to any of the meditations. You can also go on our Facebook page, Church of the Nativity, United Church of Christ, and the meditations will be in there as well as the services. So we hope you'll join us. For now, though, let us take just a moment of quiet and time in order to prepare ourselves for this worship experience. I always think it's helpful to begin with some breath. Notice as you breathe in and as you breathe out. And as you breathe in, imagine that you're breathing in God's love. And it's coming in to your nose, your throat, your abdomen, and it's going all through your body to the tips of your fingers and toes and the top of your head. As you breathe out God's love into the space around you and those that you're with, even if you're 6 feet apart, family, or even imagine that you're breathing God's love into the world. Because that's how God's love is. It could go everywhere. So breathe in God's love. Breathe out God's love.
To wanted to remind everybody that even though we're not worshiping at church right now, if you still have your one great hour of sharing thanks at home, you can still be putting money in those if you want. And then when we meet back together again, we'll still collect them and they can still help people all over the world. So I didn't want you to forget about that. Now, some of you, like me, may be at home a lot more than you're used to right now. And maybe some of you might even be getting a little bored. And if you're like me, you might like to do puzzles. Does anybody like puzzles? So we've got some going at our house, and also there were some here at church that were a little bit scattered, so I thought I would put some of them back together too. And I'm going to talk to you about what I experienced while I was doing that. So the first puzzle that I found was this one. Now, I can tell because of the faces that this is Disney princesses, but there's no picture with it, and it doesn't have a box. So it was incredibly frustrating, because how am I going to do the puzzle without the picture to tell me what it's supposed to look like? So I kind of put that one off to the side. And then I found this one, and I started putting it together, and I know it's Grover, but there's these pieces missing, and I couldn't find them anywhere. And that was really, really disappointing. Have you ever done a puzzle and you get through all the way to the end and you realize you have pieces missing, so you can't see all of your hard work go into that beautiful picture? Well, that was very disappointing. So I thought, what else can I find? And I found this. Now this is the worst of all. This is a bag of random pieces. And they go to all different puzzles, and I have no idea what they are. And this made me actually kind of angry. And I wanted to just sort of throw these in the garbage, but I didn't, because I know maybe one day I'll figure out which puzzle they go to. So, why am I telling you this? I bet at this time, when things seem a little weird and different than normal, that you might feel frustrated or disappointed or maybe even angry. And I wanted you to know that that's okay. I feel like that too sometimes. And one of the things that we can do is we can pray and we can tell Jesus about how we feel. And we can talk to our parents and our brothers and sisters. And if we're old enough to use the phone by ourselves, we can maybe call a friend and talk to them. And that might make us feel a little bit better. And I just wanted you to remember that you're not alone and that everybody here at church still loves you and that God always loves you and is always with you. So, can we say a prayer together? Dear God, we thank you that you are always with us, that you love us, and that even when things are uncertain, that you are always aware of what's happening. You know our feelings, and you're not sad or mad or upset with us when we feel those ways. Thank you for all of our friends and family who are taking care of us, and we pray for all of our teachers and all those who we can't see right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our Bible encounter for this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 15 through 21. In these words, God is speaking to the people of Israel around 600 years before Jesus was born. They are in exile. In these verses, God assures them that a new day is coming. Our reading is from the New Revised Standard Version of the Holy Bible. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they may declare my praise. So ends our hearing of these ancient words. May God's Spirit open our hearts and minds to understand the meaning they may hold for us today.
Well, last night I cut my own bangs. Now, I did that because I was due for a hairdresser appointment on Tuesday, and they were getting in my eyes, and they're getting caught in my glasses, and the word came from the governor that all businesses were shut down, so I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, and I looked in the mirror, I said, this isn't going to work, and I just started to cut, and I must say, if I say so myself, it's not a bad job. Could have been really far worse. I did a new thing. And then, today, when I got up and went into the kitchen, I noticed that we had 3 bananas that were kind of overripe. We had eaten the rest of them, but those, you know, you can only eat so many bananas, and they were sitting there, they were getting, you know, not so great. And I thought, I'll make banana bread. Now, people who know me will find that funny because I'm known as a person who doesn't cook, who doesn't bake. I'm the person who's always can be counted on to buy the rolls for the potluck supper. In fact, we have a little refrigerator magnet that says, the only reason I have a kitchen is because it came with a house. So that's kind of what I'm about, but I thought, you know, I'm going to go in. I found my mother's recipe book cards that I inherited, and lo and behold, here is my banana bread. And it smells good, it looks good, I haven't eaten it yet, but I think it has great promise. I learned to do a new thing. Well, I think this coronavirus is pushing us into all kinds of new territories that we're not normally doing. We're home with family way longer than we usually are. We're figuring out how do we work at home. We're figuring out how do we connect with people and worship when we don't have them gathering on a Sunday morning. We're figuring out how to do Zoom meetings. At the same time, healthcare providers and others are trying to figure out how to deal with such a frightening pandemic. Older people are scared and afraid because they might be alone and they're wondering who's going to help them if they get in trouble. So our capacity to deal with things is really being pushed to the limit. And it's kind of frightening, at least it is for me, and I know for a lot of the folks here at Nativity and other people that I've talked to. Now, some people are saying, once we get through this, it'll all go back to normal. The stock market will go back, jobs will come back into being, schools will go back to, kids will go back to school, all of that will begin to go back and, you know, we'll all be fine. I really believe that we will be fine, but I've been thinking lately that I'm not sure that it's going to go back to the way it was. I've been thinking that I think in some respects, we as individuals, as a church, as a community, as a country, as a world, are going to be changed considerably as a result of this coronavirus pandemic. And that can be really frightening because it's unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. But then I was thinking that sometimes when we're in really bad situations, not sometimes, all the time when we're in really bad situations, God is at work to help lead us through, to give us new opportunities, new possibilities of living into new ways of being. And this passage that Bart read a few moments ago from Isaiah 43 has really had meaning over the years, particularly those lines, "Do not consider the former things or remember the things of old. For behold, I'm doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it?" Now, the situation into which God gave these words to Isaiah was that the people of Israel was about 600 years before Jesus lived. And the people, God's people of Israel, lived in the land of Judah, which is kind of southern Israel, what would be now, it's, you know, what we know as Israel. And the Babylonians, another nation, conquering nation, came in, and they really destroyed the city. They leveled the temple where the people worshiped. They burned things, and they separated families, and they took the key leaders out into the deserts of Babylon, figuring if you get rid of the leaders, you'll keep things from, you know, from riots happening and such. So these leaders were out in these deserts in Babylon, and it was devastating. They're separated from extended family. They weren't worshiping where they were used to worshiping. They certainly lived in poverty. I'm sure they were given the minimum of care while they were there, and they were there for several decades. But they began to hear these words from the prophets, the preachers of that day, who said to them, God hasn't abandoned us. We may feel God forsaken, but that's not the truth. God is here, and God is making a new way. God will bring us, God will create rivers in the desert. God will bring us out of this wilderness to a new day. But it won't be the former things. Behold, do not remember the former things. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Can you perceive it? And so I've been thinking that out of this chaos, this devastation, that God will be working and encouraging us to learn new things, experience new things, do new things that will carry into the new future that God is unfolding for us. For example, we're learning to do online meditations and worship here at Nativity. We're learning how to do a Zoom meeting. Didn't do that before. The sermons were recorded, but doing a service, all that's involved in that, didn't know how to do. People are learning new ways of being family together when they're really in there for a long time. We're figuring out new ways to do school and work on online, in an online capacity. I think that in the end, God will be working, or is working, and will continue to work new possibilities for us as we walk this path together. You know, Jesus said, if you're in Christ, or actually St. Paul said, those who are in Christ are a new creation. And I think each of us is being called and encouraged by God to learn new things in the midst of this. A member of Nativity found this poem, I think, online or on a Facebook page, and copied it and sent to me. It's by Gurpreet Gill, an intuitive energy healer and breath practitioner. And she writes this: "There is so much fear, and perhaps rightly so, about COVID-19. And what if we subscribe to the philosophy that life is always working out for us, that there is an intelligence far greater than humans at work, that all is interconnected? What if the virus is here to help us, to reset, to remember what is truly important, reconnecting with family and community, reducing travel so that the environment, the skies, the air, our lungs all get a break? Parts of China are seeing blue sky and clouds for the first time in forever because the factories are shut down. Working from home rather than commuting to work is less pollution and more personal time. Reconnecting with family as there's more time at home. An invitation to turn inwards, a deep meditation, rather than the usual extroverted going out to self-soothe. To reconnect with self, what is really important to me? A reset economically, the working poor, the lack of healthcare access for over 30 million in the US, the need for paid sick leave. How hard does one need to work to be able to live, to have a life outside of work? To face our mortality, check back into living life rather than simply working, working, working. To reconnect with our elders who are so susceptible to this virus. And washing our hands. How did that become a new thing that we needed to remember? But yes, we did. The presence of grace for all. There is a shift underway in our society. What if it is one that is favorable for us? What if this virus is an ally in our evolution? In our remembrance of what it means to be connected, humane, living a simpler life, to be less impactful, more kind to our environment. An offering from my heart this morning, offered as another perspective, another way of relating to this virus, this unfolding, this evolution. It was time for a change, we all knew that. And change has arrived. What if? I don't believe that God has caused this virus in order to teach us new things. But I do believe that in the midst of this crisis, we can learn new things. And that God is walking along with us, a new way of being. Not the former things, but new. Can you perceive it? Amen. Please join me in prayer. Loving and ever-present God, thank you for being with us in the midst of this crisis that we're experiencing. Help us to see that you will lead us in new ways of being as individuals, as churches, schools, communities, and a world. Help us to understand that the separation that we are experiencing is really because of how connected we are. God, we pray for those who are feeling lonely, those who have lost jobs, been laid off, for those who are making plans for retirement and watching their 401ks diminish. For those who live on the streets and are particularly at risk. For those who are ill or compromised. We lift all those people up, and everyone who is calling on your name and those who aren't. And we ask that you surround them with your love, your presence, your encouragement, your strength, and your grace. Help us to be able to serve if there's ways we can do that. To be able to give if we have the capacity to, in order to make sure that those who don't have enough can be carried through this. Help us to reach out to those who might be disconnected. Let them know that they're cared about. Guide and direct our leaders, our first responders, and our whole world, that together we can move beyond this into a future that is always held in your hands. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
During in-person worship, this is the time when we receive the offerings which enable us to fulfill our mission to be a welcoming, nurturing, empowering community of faith, carrying Christ's love, justice, and peace into our community and world. We won't be passing plates today, but we would welcome your offerings or donations. You may mail your gift to the Church of the Nativity, 1530 Colvin Boulevard, Buffalo, New York, 14223, or we have a PayPal button at the bottom of our website's homepage, www.nativityucc.org. Thank you for your generosity.
Beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his love, joy, and peace, which passes all understanding. Amen. Thanks for worshiping with us this morning or tonight or whenever you do it. God bless you this day and always. Goodbye.